Titus chapter 2. Please look with me at verses 13 and 14. I'd like to start over there with verse 11. About the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared unto all men, teaching us that we should deny what? All ungodliness. What else deny? What? Worldly lust, deny them? Yes. What else? Got to live soberly? How else? And what else? Where at? Anybody can behave himself and his toes are sticking up, but brother, sister, it'll take God in your soul to live that kind of life down here now. It'll take God. And then we'll go to the Word. Look now. Looking for that blessed hope. And what else? The glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Make no mistake about it. It's Him. Who gave Himself for us. Nobody else for us. Nobody else needed Him but us. Gave Himself for us. What for? That He might redeem us from all iniquity. All is a big, long, three-letter word. It means this, that there is no sin that Jesus Christ can't conquer. It means that there is no temptation that you cannot overcome when Jesus Christ is Lord of your life. Not only is Christ in us the hope of glory, but bless God, He on the inside will work mightily. He is able to deliver us from every evil work and preserve us unto His heavenly kingdom. Bless Him. Exalt Him. Deliver us and redeem us from all iniquity. Not only do the redeeming from, but thank God, purifying unto Himself a peculiar people. Purifying, continuous action word, showing that when you get saved, that work of cleaning up is not finished. God's got a lot of other cleaning up to do. That's why He said to cleanse yourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of the Lord. I thought holiness can't be perfected, but God's word said it can be. Because holiness becometh thy house, O Lord. And children of God, the note of holiness is sadly lacking today in actual practice. Oh, we can talk holiness and say we believe in holiness, but I want to see those who will just put it up, live it, amen, or take her sign down. Here and now. Peculiar people. Peculiar because they're purified. Peculiar because they're different from other people. They're not the same anymore, even to themselves. I like to look at myself in the mirror when God gives me an overhaul job. I remember the other day I was out in the woods just behind my house. There's a wood out there. I was just up in there just praying up a storm. Come on into the house, and lo and behold, the phone call began to come in one after another, and they said, "Say, your battery seems to be recharged." I said, "If you don't know what it means to get along with God and call on Him." Yeah. Children of God, no preaching, no teaching, and no fellowshipping with the saints of God, not even praying or singing, is worth the salt and the bread without the touch of God on it. Right. Gotta have it. And I find that when God begins to really touch our soul, a purifying work goes on in there. Until we become a peculiar people. Oddballs to many. Children of God, there was a time in this church across the street when we preached to them there that not even go to church chewing gum. They looked at me like I fell out of the basement into the loft. What in the world's the matter with you, preacher, chewing gum in church? I said, "Why, we don't want to look at one another and be an ass guy like a cow chewing his cud. Thank God, leave the things aside. You want to chew on that outside, that's all right. But God, get your mind on God." Yeah. Amen. And I'll tell you, there are other folks who use another kind of cud and see the brown amber going down the side of their mouth. Right. But I want you to know, the children of God, that this gospel can not only make us so that we can live right and spit white. Amen. Purify unto himself a peculiar people. Peculiar because something's happened. A fire set up in our soul. We're now zealous of good works. Children of God, the Apostle Paul, speaking by the Holy Ghost, said, looking for that blessed hope. Blessed hope. What is the blessed hope? What is the blessed hope? Notice it. It says, and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. In the blessed hope is connected to the coming of Jesus, all right. But you notice they're different. They're a part of a whole. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself a ransom for us all to be testified in due time. What is the blessed hope? It must be something very wonderful, because the word blessed not only means happy, joyfully happy, abundantly happy, fully happy, but it even carries a higher thought than being happy. Blessed means something that is thrilling, something exciting, something that'll stir you up on the inside and help you to really glorify God. Make you expectant. You see, the blessed hope, there are some things attached to that blessed hope that will cause us to be ready for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the blessed hope, there are some things that are very valuable. Notice it, blessed. Blessed hope. In order to appreciate that word blessed, you ought to go back over there to Matthew in chapter 5. When he said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Happy or privileged or honored or favored are those who are pure in heart. They're going to see him. The Lord said in his own word that they shall see his face. Names shall be written in their foreheads. But what if? Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed is the hungry and the thirsty person, because God's in the filling business. But wait. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. What else? Blessed are ye when men revile you and persecute you. A lot of times we may not feel very blessed, because we get hurt when people persecute us and revile us and see all manner of evil against us. But the Word of God said, blessed are those that are reviled and persecuted for righteousness' sake. We get a lot of reviling, a lot of persecution, but there's not too much righteousness involved. But for righteousness' sake, persecuted, you're blessed. Why? He tells you this. Blessed are they that are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Children of God, when I am persecuted, it is a refiner. When I am persecuted, it is a purifier. Because it helps me to say, Jesus, stand up in me and help me to act right when everybody else is acting wrong. Lord God Almighty, you just stand up in me and help me to behave myself. I won't be short fused. I will not blow one. Thank God I won't be easily keyed up. I won't be easily touched off. I won't be inflammable. Nobody will have to put a sign on me to use no hooks. Nobody will have to put a sign on me saying perishable or handle with care. Nobody will have to put a sign on me and say this side up. Children of God, blessed are ye when men revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake.
Rejoice, 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 and be exceedingly glad. For great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you.
Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have a right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city of God.
Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Yea, he, the Lord, will gird himself and have them sit down to meat and will serve them. What? Blessed are those whom the Lord finds watching.
Children of God, those who are looking for that blessed hope are the same ones who are watching.
And you won't watch and you won't be looking unless you're ready. How many of you are looking for the blessed hope in your heart? Really in your heart?
Thank God, that's all right. The devil's going to do everything to try to get you to look in every other direction. He's going to try to get you to look at one another.
He's going to have to try to get us to look after the cares of this life. How what we shall eat and what we shall put on. He wants to get us to even look at,
Lord have mercy. I found if anybody that devil tries to get me to look at is some bow-legged, freckled-faced, low-down, cheap, sorry, good-for-nothing hypocrite. He tried to get me to look at them.
Why don't he ever get me to look at some of those holy folks? Full of the glory of God and the power of God and the Word of God and the Spirit of God.
He won't steer you in that direction. But children of God, looking.
Looking. Looking unto them that look for him. Shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation? Are you looking?
That's the important thing. Look shows this. When I'm looking for him, I am really anxious to meet him. Have you ever had anybody come to you and say, I'd like to have you come over for dinner. And it's going to be at 3 o'clock. And just a little while before then, you know, it would touch my heart. I was invited to a home down there in Fort Lauderdale some time back. And the people told me when to come. And they were standing out on the lawn looking for me to come. That pleased my heart to no end. They wanted to be sure that I didn't miss the house, first time I'd ever been to their home. And they were there looking for me while I was looking for them. And when we got inside, everything was ready. You see, they knew I was coming because they felt that my word was worth 100 cents on the dollar. I don't know about the times I've been forgetting things. You know more about that than me. But I will say this one thing. There's only one thing that I don't want to forget. That my help cometh from the Lord who made the heavens and the earth.
Looking for that blessed hope.
Blessed be God.
What is the blessed hope of the church? What is the blessed hope that you and I are supposed to be looking for?
The Word of God clearly brings it on out.
You notice that it is a hope that maketh not ashamed, because the love of God shall abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost. You notice that Paul said this, for what things we see, why doth a man hope for? But the things that we do not see, then we with patience wait for. When we're hoping, that's future. It's a coming. Jesus said he would come again, and the devil is a-working today to get our minds all bum-fuzzled. I don't know why the preachers are more and more talking about, it looks like Jesus keep a-putting this coming off and made a bunch of fools out of us. Here we've been a-telling the people all along to keep a-looking for his coming and keep watching, keep waiting, and keep praying, and keep expecting, and he hadn't come yet. And it says, why, they made a bunch of fools out of themselves. So I had one preacher tell me, he said, I ain't a-preaching that no more. All I want you to know, this is one that is not turning at all. Amen. The Word of God says this. Though he tarry, we will wait.
We'll wait for him.
Hallelujah.
While the bridegroom what? Tarried. They all slumbered and slept. There would be a tarrying. The tarrying because the whole body of Jesus Christ was not yet complete. There was to be a tarrying because even those who got into the body were not yet cleaned up good. Hear it. You remember that great group of people, that multitude that were caught up out of great tribulation and washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb? They had robes, but they got dirty. What did they do? They washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Couldn't go up without washed robes. When did they get the robes? I will rejoice in the Lord. I'll be joyful in my God, for He hath clothed me with what? The garments of salvation. He hath covered me with a robe of righteousness. Children of God, when we get saved, He puts the covering on. But it's our place to keep clean. Keep the robes clean and spotless. You go over there to the Revelation in chapter 3 and verse 14 through 20. And the Lord Jesus is going to tell us about a lukewarm church. And in that lukewarm church, there are those that said that they were rich and increased in goods and had need of nothing. So they sought nothing and got nothing. But Jesus said, you are poor, miserable, wretched, blind, and naked. Do you notice all the things He said about them? You notice the last thing that He said was naked. Naked. That in any way that He prepares and conditions His church, something happened. They lost their clothes. That'd be a sermon to preach on. How'd you lose your clothes? But they lost them. Go with me over there to the 16th chapter of Revelation, chapter 16 and verse 15. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments. What does it mean, keepeth them? Somebody trying to yank them off of you? No, there's not somebody trying to strip your clothes off of you, but the devil. Blessed he that keepeth his garments, that means keepeth them clean, lest he walk naked. Get them dirty? You know what'll happen. Lose them. Children of God, keep clean before God and before this world. The scripture says, keep yourselves how? Unspotted from this world. The world will spot you. This church and no church has any place as a testimony to any community if the church is worldly. When the world gets into the church, and we can't distinguish and recognize the saints from the world, it's a sad commentary. It's a sad day. I believe that there ought to be such a distinction between us and the world as there should be a real sharp distinction between the appearance of a man and the appearance of a woman. So that anywhere on the street or anywhere even at a distance, you can identify whether that's a man or a woman without scrunching your eyes and wondering. Amen. Ouch, or oh me. Children of God, in the blessed hope, there is a conditioning of ourselves for the coming of the Lord. It is a blessed hope. And those that are looking, you notice that there, he said, and the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him. Hear it. When will he come? When he's not a-looking. And will, it says this, and will cut him asunder, and will appoint him his portion with the hypocrites and the unbelievers. Matthew, unbelievers. And Matthew, hypocrites. And in Luke, he talks about the unbelievers. Sure, one of God, I sure don't want to be in that crowd. Look at it. Those that were not looking.
priest said, "My Lord, delayeth this coming." He began to eat and to drink with the drunken, and began to beat the men servants and the maid servants. Not everybody does beating with their hands, but they sure do a lot of beating up people with their tongues. I want to be found among those that speak evil of no one. Thank the Lord for our conversations in heaven, from whence we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, fashion it like unto his glorious body, according to the working of his mighty power, whereby he is able to subdue all things unto himself. Bless God, take over, Lord, and subdue. Subdue, Lord, this morning. Amen. Everything in me that needs subduing. Bring under your control everything in me, Lord, even the thoughts of my mind, until I'll cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. That's a real Holy Ghost-filled saint of God. Your mind run you, or you run your mind? Your mind your boss, or you boss over your mind? Amen. There's a difference between the mind and the heart. Did he not say in this, "Trust in the Lord with all thy heart, lean not to thy own understanding, and all of your ways acknowledge him, he'll direct your paths"? Did he say not this, that the peace of God that passeth all understanding shall keep your heart and minds in Christ Jesus? Children of God, two things need keeping. And that upper story is the weakest place in us, especially among preachers. We swell up very easily, puff up. I remember one of the preachers in this area some time back. He had a little falling out with me because a number of the people of his church were coming to our church. The power of God was falling in the meeting. Some of you in the earlier days among us here will remember this incident. And that preacher, he held it against me. He said, "You've been a stealer and stealing my sheep." I said, "Would you show me one and tell me the name of one?" And he got quiet. I said, "You produce one, I'll go with you and face them eyeball to eyeball and check this thing on out and find out what I said and what I did to pull them out of your good church to bring them over to this little old dumpy building over here." I said, "I'm waiting for the first one." I said, "I know that you from the pulpit said at your church, sure, go on over there to that church." He said, "You know, they don't even belong to a denomination because no denomination would have them." I said, "Did you not say that from your own pulpit? That they're just a bunch of fly-by-nights?" And he says, "Just any old dog can wag his tail and they'll just latch on to them." I said, "I want you to know that the people who came from your church over here are not dogs. Come on! These are precious souls for whom Jesus died. These same people that you say that I stole from you are the very ones that said that you criticized me from the pulpit, and he wanted to come over there and see if Brother Hendricks had backslid. And when they come over here and checked upon us, they said, 'Say, he's got a higher standard than we had at our church.'" Children of God, high standard don't ever hurt any church. The only ones that will hurt are those who want to live loose. And those who want to live loose are not ready for the coming of the Lord. And it's my responsibility as a minister of Jesus Christ to preach Jesus. Amen. And to preach a high standard. When told by the standard tonight, Jesus tarried. Amen. Got a standard. And we hold that good standard up there to the children of God, so they know how we're supposed to live and conduct ourselves in a non-friendly world. Children of God, we'll all just shout together and go up a shouting together. Amen. We ought to do all things to edify. We ought to, the scripture tells us this, to bear one another's burden, to so fulfill the law of Christ. The word of God says this, that anyone who's taken in a fault, you that are spiritual. Now this tells one of the spiritual ones from those who are professing to be spiritual. You that are spiritual, restore them. How? Spirit of meekness. Not looking down on them, but getting right down there where they are, and we're going to go on up together. Thank the Lord. in the spirit of meekness, considering your own selves, lest you also be tempted. Looking for that blessed hope. Why is it the blessed hope? Just this. Do you realize that when you and I got saved, we were saved from our sins? That's why Jesus Christ came into the world, to save us from our sins, not in them. Jesus Christ came to destroy the works of the devil. And the works of the devil is to get you in the sin business. When the Lord Jesus Christ comes to save us, He saves us from our sins. The Lord shall deliver me from every evil work and preserve me unto His heavenly kingdom. Hear it. Delivered from, preserved unto His heavenly kingdom. In the redemptive work of the Lord Jesus, He is praying to the Father. In John chapter 17, He said, Father, I pray not that you should take them out of the world, but keep them from the evil. There must be a keeping, or Jesus wouldn't have prayed for the Father to keep us. He is able to keep us from falling, not us keeping ourselves. He is able to keep us from falling and to present us faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. Say, faultless before His presence? You know the kind of church that Jesus Christ is going to present to Himself? Did it say it was going to be without spot? Did it say it was going to be without blemish? Did it say it's going to be without wrinkle? Did He say that it was going to be a church that it was going to be a holy? Yes, a holy church. That's what He is going to present to Himself. And when He presents that kind of a church to Himself, children of God, in the blessed hope, we're going to be delivered from the presence of sin. That's what the blessed hope's all about. You and I, the Scriptures show us this. As long as we're in this world, we can easily be influenced by the world. That's why He said, come ye out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing. Notice it. What He tells us what not to touch. The unclean thing, I will receive you unto myself, and I'll be a father to you, and you'll be my sons and my daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Come out of her, my people! God's people were in something that they didn't belong, and the Lord says, come on, you got to get on out of that. Why? That ye be not partaker of her sins and receive of her plagues. You see, He wants us to stay clean. As long as the church stays separated from the world, the church will stay clean. But mark it down, children of God, when we begin to get our eyes off of Jesus and on one another, I've seen some Christian look at bug-eyed at one another. And even cross-eyed at one another. Instead of looking for that blessed hope, we're going to looking at each other sidewise. We got all out of sorts with one another. If we expect to go to heaven, I think that we ought to get all those cross-eyes straightened up down here. Amen. Amen. Because the blessed hope won't be a blessed hope because the Lord's going to deliver us from the presence of sin in the blessed hope. There the wicked cease from troubling. There the weary be at rest. Hallelujah. Where's the there? It's up there in glory. Delivered from the presence of sin is the blessed hope. You see, down here, we're saved from our sins. That's why Jesus came to save. He came to save us from the penalty of our sins. First, from the power of sin after it, from the penalty of sin, and then from the presence of sin. Blessed hope, saved from this wicked, sinful, ungodly world when wrath will be poured out without measure and without mixture upon the ungodly, the wicked. Keep ourselves straight before God. Preacher called me up about 9:30, just night before last, and said, Brother Hendricks, I've got to have help. I am tortured and tormented, 19 years preaching the gospel, but I can't shake this. I am
fighting a battle, looks like a losing battle, with a demon of lust. And I don't want to yield, but I just haven't got the power. And this person's been a Holy Ghost-filled person. Children of God, I want you to know this one thing. If you have been facing that kind of a problem, or you have been facing temptation, what if you were a boozer before you got saved? And you were living clean for a while and even bragging, praising God about and testifying how you have been delivered from all of your booze. And you who have been on the stink weed, you've been delivered from tobacco. How you praise God for that. But suddenly a time will come when you haven't been a praying good and living close to the heart of God. The enemy just knew when to take a crack at you and find yourself just so tempted with that. And the smell of it seems so good. And the appetite and the craving for that old alcohol seems so inviting until you could hardly resist. And thought, my, I thought I was a Holy Ghost filled person. I'll tell you this, children of God, we're not as filled as we think we are sometimes. Amen. Paul went over there to Ephesus and said, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? I think that if he was in our churches today, he'd have to say, well, have you been refilled since you last leaked out? Children of God, God is in the filling business. And only those who are really so full of God, there's no room for the devil to dump anything else in on us. Amen. No room. Looking for that blessed hope. Why? Because in that blessed hope, I've not only been delivered from the power of sin. Bless God, I want you to know in this gospel of Jesus Christ, there is power over sin. Do you know over there in the book of Romans chapter 6 and verse 14, he said this, concerning the grace of God, tells us about the grace of God. Mike, would you read? Chapter 6. And verse 14, what will the grace of God do for the children of God? I don't know if you are in grace or in disgrace, but this will be a good test on you. The grace of God will bring a certain positive, definite experience in God until sin does not have dominion over us, for we are not under the law, but under grace. Does he say that sin shall not have dominion over you? Did he say shall not? He said it. Shall not have dominion over you. Why? Because you have dominion over it. We are not under the law, but under grace. If I'm really under grace, bless God, I am now divorced from sin. Hallelujah. Sin does not have dominion over me. Say, in the grace of God, this makes me feel good. Wait a minute now. What is that blessed hope connected to the glorious appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ? Now, I know when he comes to deliver us from this present evil world. Isn't that right? He comes to deliver us from this present evil world. That's what the purpose of his coming is. Get us out of all of this filth and all of this slime and all of the muck and the mire of contamination of sin on every side. But wait, there's something else in that blessed hope. The blessed hope is this, that we're going to be meeting our loved ones who have gone on. Those dear precious souls that were near and dear to our heart. If the Lord should come at a time when I'm not in there preaching, I hope that he thumps me on the head and tells me to get over there to the marker graveside of my wife. I like to see what she looks like when she comes home out of there. Amen! With a new body. Thank the Lord. Taking that ashes down there, making it into a brand new house for her spirit and soul to enter on into. And then we're going to be caught up together. Isn't that a nice word? Together to meet the Lord in the air. Amen. Not just meet one another, to meet him. He's the center of attraction. I like to be by his side. Yes, it's a blessed hope because it is the only time when the saints of God who are in the dirt, under the ground, are going to be called out of there is at the coming of Jesus.
For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the first thing that happens is what? The dead in Christ shall rise first.
And then we that are alive and remain, we come in second. Amen. Remain shall be changed from the corruptible to the incorruptible, from the mortal to the immortal. And then we shall be changed and then caught up in a moment of time in the twinkling of an eye. Think of that. So not only are they coming on up out of there, but bless God, you and I are going to have a new body walking around. Amen. New one. Brand spanking new one. That's in the blessed hope. See, that's why we're looking forward to that blessed hope. There's coming a great change. We used to sing a song around here and get happy about, there's a great change in me, a great change in me. No more in darkness, no more in night. Hallelujah. Amen. Is the change still working? Amen. You know, the path of the justice is a shining light that shineth more and more, not less and less, unto the perfect day. The blessed hope, why are we looking forward to it? Not only that we're going to meet our loved ones again and be caught up together and meet the Lord in the air, but children of God, there's some other wonderful things in store. All the labors that we have shown toward his name, the rewards are again waiting for us at the judgment seat of Christ. In the blessed hope, that's what we're looking for. We're going to be rewarded for all of our labors. Don't have to be worded down here. Don't any one of you children of God want to hear any praises from anybody for anything that you do? Because the more that they praise you, it's just kind of going to take away from your reward if you received it. You notice I didn't receive anything up here? Oh, no. Because our labor is not in vain in the Lord. And I receive it down here in the accolades of mortal man. You see, that'll take away from it up there. And what's more, it would be a dishonor to our blessed Lord who gave us what we did have in ability, because he said, if any man speak, let him speak how? As the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it with ability that God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ. We don't want him robbed of any glory. I don't want to go up there to meet him in the air as a thief, stole glory away from him. See, we're going to be rewarded for faithful service. But wait, when I look up there, every man's work is to be tried, how? By fire. Every one of our work is to be tried by fire. And he says, and if it abides the fire, we shall be saved. But if our works abide not the fire, we shall suffer loss and shall be saved so as by fire. But you notice that there are three kinds of work on the one side. A wood and hay and stubble works. And there is also gold and silver and precious stone works on the other side. Our works. Do you know that Jesus is concerned about your works that you do for him? Our works are so important that in every church, barring none of the seven churches of Revelation, which represent the whole panorama view of the church age, they give you the different stages of the development or growth or even of going downhill or retrogression of the church throughout the whole period of grace. And if you notice that, I know thy works. That's exactly what Jesus said. I know. The first thing he talks about is our works. You see, in working to get saved, but it's working because we are saved. Amen. And mark this down, children of God. Faithful is he who hath begun a good work in us. He began the work. But then he said, for you and me, that's his part, work out your own salvation. Amen. He works it in, and then you work it out. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God that worketh in you both the will and the do of his own good pleasure. Praise his wonderful name. Looking for that blessed hope. not only in the blessed hope that we're going to be rewarded for our labors, we're going to have a changed body, we're going to meet our loved ones, but wait, let's not lose sight of who we're going to meet in the air. We're going to be forever with the Lord. He said, therefore, comfort one another with these words. If there's anybody I want to be with, that's Jesus. Amen. He makes me happy when I'm sad. He makes me feel up when I am down. Do you hear that? I tell you, there's nobody like Jesus. He is that friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He is the truest friend you'll ever have. Nobody ever loved us enough to die for us, or even be willing to. He says, scarcely for a righteous man would one die, but peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. What's the difference between a righteous man and a good man? A good man, just a good moral living man. But a righteous man curdles the blood of those who are just good men. Amen. They don't relate. They're not on the same level, not the same plane. Only He makes us righteous. Scripture says this. He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Children of God, I can walk around here this morning and say with all confidence that I am righteous. I have been made the righteousness of God in Jesus. He hath covered me with a robe of righteousness. I'm righteous because He made me right. I'm not just righteous because I talk right. A lot of people can talk right and live as crooked as a dog's hind leg or a barrel full of snakes. But children of God, when He makes me right inside, I can behave myself anywhere. Bless God. No place, no temptation, even though take me that is common to man, but I want you to know that He is faithful, who will not suffer or allow me to be tempted above that I'm able to bear, but will also with the temptation make a way of escape. A lot of folks don't even look for a way of escape. The thing looks so inviting and so alluring and so enticing that you just want to try and just kind of tinker and play around a little bit with it. Don't play with sin in any form, children of God. Don't even wink at it or flirt with it. Amen. Because it'll separate us from Jesus. And I'm going to meet the Lord in the air. How about you? When we meet Him up there, what a day that'll be. Children of God, He's coming with a shout. Listen, if He feels that excited about taking us up there, I believe there's going to be some of that splash over on us. Amen. We're going to do some shouting from on our way up. I'll tell you this, children of God, heaven's going to be a mighty noisy place. And if you can't stand it down here, you'll be out of place up there. I read in the Bible there was going to be silence in heaven for a half an hour. That's just all, just a half hour. That's for the folks who just got in up there who weren't used to shouting. Until they get in the atmosphere. You hear it? I go over there to Revelation chapter 19. And I heard a voice from heaven saying, praise our God, all ye His servants. Why did they have to be admonished? Why did they have to be instructed to praise God up in heaven? It seemed like anybody and everybody want to praise Him up there. Sixth verse in Revelation 19. I want to hear that. Strange thing. Instruction given to people to praise God in heaven. I wonder, I got to study about that. Lord, are they so surprised that they made it that they are still? Or are they so shocked because somebody else they didn't think would make it did make it? Or are they so surprised and amazed at such a beautiful place heaven is that is taking the breath? Or
is it that just seeing Jesus, the wounds in his hands and feet, and see on that face that was marred, his visage was marred beyond that of any other man? Is that what your Bible says? Yes, his visage was marred more than any other man. That shows that there's going to be a lot of scars on that face. When we see the scars, the penalty that he paid for us, I'll tell you this. Let's hear the word of God. Go back to verse 4.
And the 24 elders and the 4 beasts fell down and worshipped God that sat on the throne, saying, Amen, Alleluia. And a voice came out of the throne, saying, Praise our God, all ye his servants.
Amen. Do it down here. It'll be just as easy and natural up there. Praise our God, all ye his who? Servants. Hear it. What else?
And ye that fear him, both small and great.
Come on now, children of God. You who are just new saints in God, you may feel your little dinky saints, that you don't amount to much in this church here, but it says both small, that's you, just got saved, and great, those are the big ones. So the big ones and the little ones all fit in the same. You say, come on, you're not too little to praise God. Hallelujah. All ye, give honor and glory and praise to him, children of God, because the last thing in that blessed hope is this. We are going to forever be with the Lord. Do you get that? Why is it a blessed hope? No more, glory to God, no more struggles and trials and troubles and tests and heartaches and burdens to bear. No more misunderstandings, no more conflicts, no more worries and concerns, and no more burdens. Forever with the Lord. Don't have to worry about paying any bills up there. Thank God. And I want you to know that nothing deteriorates up there. Down here, everything does. Whether it be our body or our houses or our cars or our clothes, everything just seems to just fall apart. But there's coming a place that we're going to be, a land that is fairer than day. It's the blessed hope. And it is connected with the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Notice it is called the glorious appearing. I didn't realize it's 12:23. If you pardon me for just going on like this, I wasn't prepared this way. I wasn't intending, because you know my notes are coming from the inside. But do you know, children of God, there's coming a brighter, better day when we'll never be separated from one another anymore. The only ones we'll be separated from are the ungodly, the filthy, the vile, and the unclean and the impure. For outside of the city of God, he tells us there are dogs. Now, that doesn't mean those four-footed creatures. It means those two-legged ones. Amen. That's it. Dogs outside. Why is he called people dogs? Because they act like them and do like them. Jesus said, give not that which is holy to dogs. Did he not say, cast not your pearls before swine? He sure did. He said it has happened to that backslider like a true proverb. A dog has gone back to its vomit and a sow that was washed to its wallowing in the mire. And if you get that next verse in there, that'd be a good one. Quote us 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 20 and 21. And let's close it out with that this morning. The blessed hope is going to be such a blessed hope that we won't ever be troubled and concerned and perplexed and confused over hypocrites. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. No more over there. You know, sometimes we get disappointed in people. Have you ever been disappointed in somebody you thought they surely had a lot of God in their life? And lo and behold, you just knew them a little bit better and found out that they had a lot of weaknesses and found out even some of their language was not quite up to par. I've heard even professed Christians say, Dad dread it. Doggone it. Heck, gee whiz, by golly. You may not know it. Or even heck, all of those are polite cuss words. Or curse words. They may not sound so bad. We get used to saying them. But I'll tell you, the children of God, God can so clean up even that mouth of ours, because he cleaned up that fella that used that mouth, until we're going to have a kind of a speech that is good to the use of edifying, that will minister grace to all of the hearers. Let's hear the word of God.
For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world.
After they've escaped the pollutions of the world, how?
Through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
They are again entangled therein.
Oh, again entangled. So they once, you notice they escaped, but now they got back and got entangled. Again therein, what happened?
And overcome.
And overcome. You see, they're overpowered. They're even worse than they were before. Come on.
The latter end is worse with them than the beginning.
The latter end of them is worse than the beginning. In other words, when a person goes back on God, that's why I can't afford to backslide. How about you? I can't afford to backslide. Why? Because those who do become worse than they were before they ever got saved. And I was bad enough then. What else?
For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness.
It is better for them to not known the way of righteousness. That's this straight and narrow way, you see. Then
after they have known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them.
Turn from what? The holy commandment. Did you get that, children of God? The only way a person can backslide is have to turn from holiness. And you know it's a holy commandment? Here's my question. To whom are holy commandments given? To sinners or to saints? Hear it. No sinner is given a commandment to be holy. We who are saved are the only ones are commanded to be holy, for I am holy. Touch not the unclean thing, I'll receive you unto myself. Jesus Christ, our Lord, came to deliver us from this present evil world and to present unto himself a glorious church, not having spot or blemish or wrinkle or any such thing, but it should be holy and without blame before him. In love, to be ready and looking for the blessed hope. My looking is going to be just in that proportion that I have really been living what I'm looking for. It's a purifying hope, because he tells us this, and everyone that hath this hope in him, this blessed hope in him, does what? Purifies himself. We're expert at trying to purify the other fellow. Start out on number one, and don't forget that one is next to nothing. Start on another. Purifieth himself even as he is pure. Then the blessed hope will be blessed to us all. Because we'll all be clean up, fixed up, and prayed up, and ready to go up when Jesus comes. Father, thank you for the blessed hope this morning, the purifying hope. Because of what this glorious hope is going to do for us, Lord, we can't afford to miss it. And we want everybody to include it with us who wants to go along. And we pray this morning, Lord, those whose hearts are unprepared, even in the least bit unprepared, if you put your finger on something this morning, Lord, that's been a touchy issue, you put something on our heart that's not right, oh God, help me to put a rake in every one of those persons' hands this morning to rake it in. And Lord, help me to take away from everybody a pitchfork who has one. Because we want to receive thy word as it is in truth, the word of God. And we want to see the word working in us. Sanctify us by thy truth, for thy word is truth. And Lord Jesus, you that you might sanctify the people with your own blood, but suffer without the gate. And we pray that that blood will do some sanctifying in our midst this morning, because we want to be in the midst of an old-fashioned Holy Ghost revival where the power of God's falling, where the name of Jesus is glorified, where the presence of our Lord is so strong that it even draws people in off of the streets like you used to do across the street. Lord, remember those people who stood even on the sidewalk, couldn't get in the wooden room, and how they just heard the saints of God in there shouting the high praises, blessing your name, testifying, glorifying thee, and having ourselves a time in thee, O God. And we remember, Lord Jesus, even on the street corners, how the car horns would honk. People in the back wanting those in the front to move, and the ones in front didn't want to move as they heard from the glory bells ringing in the hearts of the saints of God that were washed whiter than snow in the blood of the Lamb. Let that be so ever and always until we, as a blood-bought, purified, white-hearted people, ascend up into the glory world. Those who try to whitewash themselves, Lord, we know that won't last. But we pray that you will wash us white, even this morning, of any spot, any wrinkle, any blemish that we have on us, and present us unto thyself a truly a pure and clean and holy and righteous and godly people. With heads bowed and eyes closed, the Holy Spirit has spoken to your heart this morning and said, now, Brother Hendricks, I know that you haven't been told anything about me, because I haven't been here, and I just got in late this morning. I'm glad that Brother Mike told you that I came in late, and I came in late on purpose. I didn't want to hear anything about anybody. Not that he would do it, but I didn't want to take any chances. I don't want to hear anything about anybody. I just want the Holy Ghost to do the speaking. And there's somebody this morning that he's talked to, and you know it, and you're going to just this morning honor the word of God to say, Brother Hendricks, I would like to be included in your closing prayer. Somebody this morning, God's spoken to you this morning. Put your hand up and say, pray for me. I'd like to be included. Yes? Anybody else? I'd like to be included. Slip it and put it down again. I'll be glad to remember you before the throne of grace. Anywhere else? Thank you. God bless your honest heart. Beautiful. The Lord's looking down. He saw those hands. Isn't any other? Yes. God bless you, honey. Amen. Precious little girl. Somebody else? Remember me. I like to be included in that prayer. Yes. God bless you, young man. Thank you, Father. Is there anybody else? We're waiting for you. God give you the courage to do it. You're not just raising your hand to mortal man. You're raising it to Jesus. He's here. He'll see it. Yes. Thank you. God love you. Precious. Another young lady. God bless you. Somebody else. Just, I'm waiting for somebody else that's not yet responded. The Lord wants you to be included in this prayer. Pray for me, preacher. I see that hand. I see it. Yes. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Father. That's what we're waiting on. Lord God of heaven, you saw these upraised hands because they came from hearts that you have touched and spoken to. We thank you, Lord God of heaven, that you gave them the courage to identify their need, to admit they had a need. And Lord, we know that this is a great step forward to having that need met. And we lay a hold to the horns of the altar just like it was our own personal need, as though they were members of my own personal, individual, earthly family. And I hold them up to you because they're in the family of God. Lord, even a higher family than any earthly relationship. And I earnestly hold them up before you this morning that you will meet those hearts' needs today. Lord God of heaven, this day the work of grace will be wrought in them by the power of the Holy Ghost. We know that you will work. Your word is working. And we pray your Holy Spirit will manifest himself and bring deliverance and break fetters and loose from yokes of bondage. We pray you'll set them free where they have been, Lord God, bound and loose them into the realm of the Spirit, into a higher plane in thee than they've ever found. And we thank you, Lord, even for the children who've raised their hands this morning, Lord. If any of them have not been saved, let this be the moment when they, by faith, not only repent of their sins and receive you as Savior and Lord and Master, but they call on you as a sinking, dying person would be sinking in the muck and the mire of sin down to a devil's hell. Lord, they will call on your name because you said, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And Lord, you said in your own word that a testifying both to the Jews and to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. We know when we repent, then you put saving faith in our heart. Saving faith will definitely save us, and we pray this morning, help them now to receive you as Savior and Lord and Master of their life. And then openly confess you with their mouth that they are your property. And be also baptized in water. And Lord, if there's any that have any crooked paths that need straightened out, make restitution